Do not adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network. Cool.
Across every time zone covering both hemispheres, it's another featured music special on the Artist First Radio Network. Hello again, everyone. It's Scott Z, also known as Z-Man Studio 1A, and sit back. Don't touch that mouse. Turn up the volume and throw away the knob. We've got a great artist coming up this hour. In fact, it ain't going to be an hour. It's going to be about 80 minutes. And why is it 80 minutes? Because that's the maximum amount of time our CD recorders will allow you to record that. Our guest this evening, truly a talented individual. It is my pleasure to have him on tonight. I do want to say a special hello across the vast internet universe to all of our new listeners tuning in on their cell phones. We'll have a lot more of those listeners tomorrow with the release of the iPod or the iPhone, excuse me. But for those of you that don't know it, you can now download Spodtronic radio software onto your cell phone. There's a link on the Artist First homepage, and you can now listen to Artist First worldwide on your cell phone. Now, it does take minutes off your plan, so tune us in the evenings when it's absolutely free. Our guest this hour is a very, very talented person. I'm so pleased to be having him, be the host to have him on our show tonight. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest. He was born in the Big Apple and grew up throughout the greater New York area, where he listened to radio, sang, and taught himself the piano and the guitar at home. As many musicians are, he was a gentle kid, and was harshly ostracized at school for being different. Oh, where haven't we heard that before? Isn't that the plight of many, many artists growing up? He spent a lot of his youth alone, often disappearing from school for a month at a time, while he wandered the streets of the Northwest Bronx, no doubt shaping, folks, what you're about to hear. It was during this time that he started experimenting with recording multiple tracks on a reel-to-reel recorder that his dad had brought home, and it was also during this time that he discovered rock and roll. I could go on at length about our guest, but I'd rather you hear it from him. Let me give a warm Artist First welcome to Mr. Mark Marshall. Hello, Mark.
Z-Man, how are you? I'm honored. It's an honor. How you doing?
I've been anticipating this show all week because, man, I am thoroughly impressed with your CD. You are a major talent, Mark, and the world needs to hear about you, and we're going to do our best to make sure that happens.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. It means a lot. It means a lot. I'm honored to be here.
There's a lot to talk about with you. You have a lot to talk about.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
Yeah, and the journey has a long way to go as of yet. You do lots of stuff. Let's talk about a little bit before we get into what you do. Let's talk about you as an individual, as we always do on these broadcasts. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I'm a self-taught guy, you know. For a great deal of my life, I sort of just banged around. I didn't have a focus. There were lots of things that I was interested in doing, but none of them were the major focus in my life. And I guess it's as is the case with a lot of people. You know, you end up finding that the place that you've come to in your life is the sum of all these experiences, and what you make of it at that moment is the best of where you've been. So, you know, the things that I do now are informed by all those experiences, like the stuff you read in that really nice intro, and thank you for that.
There's a whole bunch more I could have read, but I think they'd rather hear about your life from you than me. I get lots of hate mail, so they don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from you. By the way, folks, if you haven't done so already, surf over to markmarshall.com. That's with two L's, markmarshall.com. It's linked up on the Artist First homepage in two spots. Just click right on through and see this most handsome fellow we're interviewing here tonight.
You're so kind.
You look like a musician, you know?
Well, thank you.
Not fat and stupid like me.
You're funny. Oh, man. I'll tell you, here's an interesting example of what we're talking about in terms of this whole, you know, happenstance and things just happening, you know, at the times they're supposed to happen. The picture on the website, which is also, you know, you have a copy of the CD, the picture on the back of the CD was not a stage photograph. And it was not, you know, I didn't go hire a photographer, and literally I was at a party. I was at a party that was a closing of a dramatic theater in Nyack, New York, not far from where I live. And I went outside, and I'm standing out back, and I said, wow, this looks like it'd be a really great place to take a picture. So I set my camera on a dumpster and put the timer on, and that's the back cover of the album.
It does look, you know, it looks exactly like what a photographer wearing a beret with a goatee would take a picture of.
There you go.
Well, you're a creative guy. What was I reading? One of the reviews about you said that you're always into some media of some kind.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're also in radio, right?
Yeah, I am actually. I am. excuse me. I've been doing a radio show on WBAI, which is the flagship station of the Pacifica Radio Network in New York, for the past 7 years, a little over 7 years. I actually co-host a show. I started out being a producer there. I co-host a show called the Expert Witness Radio Show with Michael Levine. Michael Levine is a former DEA agent and New York Times bestselling author who once he left the DEA, fairly disgusted with the way that the federal government operated, in particular the intelligence community, started doing a radio show sort of as a form of therapy, you know, in a way to try to deal with what he had been through. And I heard him on the air one day, and he had some brilliant guests on. I mean, he had ex-CIA people, and the kind of stuff that, you know, conspiracy theorists drool over. And I was stunned because after I finished hearing the radio show, I went to the internet to look for him, and there was no presence for the radio show anywhere. So all these shows that he was doing, which contained this brilliant stuff, were just going into the ether and never being heard again. So I contacted him and said, listen, you know, you should have a website where people can actually hear this after the fact. And this goes back way before radio shows were regularly archived on the web. And he called me, I left him a message saying this, and he called me back and said, hey, I'd be interested in talking about it. Why don't you come down? So I came down and met him, while I was there with him, he said, listen, you know, if you're interested in producing a show, be my guest. Well, one thing led to another, and we've been doing the show together for 7 years.
Wow. That's as long as we've been on the air. I guess we're in our eighth year here. It's a long journey, isn't it? 7 years is a long time to be on the air.
It sure is. And especially, I mean, you know, when you do something on the Pacifica Network, it is completely a volunteer effort. You know, there is no money involved whatsoever. So it is completely, absolutely a labor of love. Oh, and I should say, for those of you who might be interested in seeing that website, it's expertwitnessradio.org.
So. Expertwitnessradio.org.
Yep.
We had a millionaire on from Texas, a woman and her husband or her soulmate who had a band. Forgive me for not remembering her name. And she was on the board of directors of the Pacifica Radio Network. At that time, I'd never heard of it.
Right.
And she wanted us to be part of that network. We just...
Huh.
We said thank you, and I just sort of never pursued it. Should we have?
Who knows? Look, you know, Pacifica has a long history of doing brilliant things and broadcasting things that other people haven't, particularly over the airwaves. WBAI was the station that was actually at the heart of the original George Carlin Seven Words Can't Say on Television in front of the Supreme Court. But, you know, the network is also full of turmoil, always has been, and as far as I can tell, it's not going to change anytime soon. I think there's a place in this world for everything, both, you know, airwaves and non-airwaves. I think that the whole idea of internet broadcasting, particularly the fact that, like you said at the top of the hour, the fact that, you know, people are going to be able to download on cell phones. Within a year or two, people are going to be able to listen to internet broadcasts anywhere. They're already rolling it out out on the West Coast, you'll be able to tune into your favorite internet radio station in your car. You know, it's only a matter of time.
That's true.
I think you are exactly where you're supposed to be, as I think we all are.
Well, and I'll only touch on this briefly because I want to move into our first track.
Mm-hmm.
But July 15th, for those of you listening live.
The day the music dies, people. You've got to get in touch with your local, your representatives in Congress and get this straightened out. Because if you want, you know, if you want this wonderful thing that we're coming to accept as part of our lives, which is, you know, the brilliance of internet radio and music on internet radio, SaveNetRadio.org. You can. There are people all over the place talking about it. MySpace, yes, but you've got to get in touch with your elected representatives and do something about it.
So, for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, give me 1 minute to tell you,
please.
Because AM and FM radio listenership has been declining. That's right, going down. First time since they've been measuring things like this, since the value of many radio properties. Look at the Viacom network that took a billion dollar charge off against the values of their properties because of that fact. And because the radio industry in America, the bloated, corrupt criminal enterprises known as the major record labels, since they've imploded in recent years, and they're looking around trying to remain relevant, they decided, well, since 75 million Americans listened to internet radio last month, we better do something. So since they can't beat us in the marketplace, they contrived legal fees and copyright fees and publishing fees so exorbitant that according to Wall Street figures, our radio stations would have to increase their revenues 360% just to pay these greedy bastards. So what's going to happen on July 15th? Literally, perhaps as many as 20,000 small internet radio stations will go silent forever.
That was not 2,000, that was 20,000.
20,000. Live 365 that many of you have been listening to radio stations on is going out of business on that day. That's 10,000 stations alone on that network. Bye. Now, we're heartbroken. Not a damn thing we can do about it right now, but guess what? Artist First is going to be here. We structured our company entirely differently. We knew that this business was run by dirtball scumbags and criminals when we got into the business. That's why no artist has played on our network that hasn't given us their written permission to do so. Oh, now everybody's going to scramble like hell to do that now, but if you're out of business, it doesn't leave you much room to wiggle. Okay, anyway, Mark Marshall is our guest. We got to think more positive thoughts than that today, Mark.
Hey, listen, you know what? There is something positive to all this. Look, the reason why television networks are scrambling for viewers and the reason why radio stations are scrambling for listeners is because they've been serving up crap for a long time. I love radio. I grew up with radio. But the reason why classic rock stations are as popular as they are is because, you know, none of the majors are putting out anything decent anymore. No minor labels or indie labels or, God forbid, independent artists can get on the radio. So, I mean, you know, they've dug their own hole. And now that they've dug their own hole, they're trying to figure out a way to get revenue in to help them get out of the hole. Well, don't dig the hole in the first place, you know?
Stop playing music that sucks.
Thank you.
People might listen. Stop playing 22 minutes of commercials every 60 minutes, and maybe people won't be tuning the station away so often.
Thank you.
And here's another thing, while we're on rants here. How come now? I'm going to get hate mail for this, too. I know. But how come if you can't play an instrument, if you can't even sing happy birthday at your child's birthday party, you can't dance, you can't sing, you can't play an instrument, how come you can make millions of dollars as an artist in the music business now?
Packaging.
Because I can click and point and drag and paste and steal. And like you said, where's the next generation? Where's the Aerosmith of my son's generation? And how come my sons, and there are great bands, let's not paint them all with a broad brush, but how come so many of these artists that have made millions never wrote a song? They stole, they didn't steal, okay, they legally borrowed pieces of other great songs. Or they remade songs that were already famous because they don't have enough talent to write their own stuff.
Well, yeah, it always bugs me when you hear a remake of a song that's less than 10 years old and they did nothing appreciable to it other than, and I have one cover on this album, but you know I did something different with it. When they just literally, it might as well be the same exact track but with a different vocalist. Why? Because we can't come up with anything new that's, you know, ugh.
Okay, well, and we're getting on the negative here. Let's get on the positive because you guys need to hear what Mark Marshall has to offer. There are 19 tracks on the CD. We're not going to get to all of those on this broadcast. I wish we had time for them. Mark, you've chosen the Get Out of the Gate tune for us tonight. Is Wanna Be There for You. It's always important what tune we start off these types of shows with. Why did you select that for our first tune for our listeners?
Well, first of all, I thought it had some good energy. Second of all, the apple of my eye, my 10-year-old, is listening tonight, and this was written for him. And it's a song about love and about support and about seeing brightness in the world when it can be dark. And I think it's actually a perfect place to go after what we were just talking about. So that's why I picked it.
You should know you are always in my heart. And if I could, I would be with you all the time. I hope you're getting through okay, but I wanna be there for you any way you want it to be. Now I don't want to make you into someone else, oh, but I do.
I don't know if I mentioned this or not. Forgive me if I didn't, but everything, I mean everything, you're going to hear on tonight's broadcast from Mark Marshall is Mark Marshall. You wrote all the material, and you played every instrument?
I did. I recorded it at home, actually.
What a great album.
In several homes. But yes, yeah. Yep.
And what I am thrilled to be playing this album. I'm thrilled to be adding it to our rotation after tonight's broadcast. You know, I've actually had a tough time. You know, we sort of have a rule of thumb here at the station on how many songs we'll put in by a particular artist. There are 19 songs on this CD. I would probably play 17 of them on our station, and probably I should play the other two as well. But, you know, usually you'll find one or two or three tracks that you really like. This is a great, great album, and you've done a spectacular job, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That means a lot. It's funny because when I first started out, and we'll get to this a little bit later on, when I first set out to make an album, some of the stuff I started writing after that happened, and some of it was stuff that had sort of been hanging around, especially some of the instrumental pieces, and it was interesting because I sort of didn't have a coherent way of wrapping it together, and I'm an album kid. You know, I grew up listening to, when I was very young, I grew up listening to ABC radio in the 60s. But as a kid, when I started listening to albums, you know, I was listening to Abbey Road and Ziggy Stardust and Wish You Were Here. And these are the kind of things where these are not, you know, I mean, yeah, you can pull singles out of any one of them, but it was an experience that went from beginning to end. And so here I was with this whole disparate sort of group of songs that weren't completed. I was completing them as I was going through trying to build this album. I pulled one song out out of nowhere. It was a song that I had written in Brooklyn in the 1980s on a battery-powered Casio. And it was a song about being in the city as a 20-something, having been there as a little kid and loving the city, but now looking at the city and being kind of jaded about it. And when this song just popped into my memory, I don't know why, but all of a sudden the entire album just came into focus. That what I was going to do was I was going to try to chronologically tell a story. Obviously it's not a narrative all the way through, but the songs by and large are chronological in order, at least for me. So that's kind of how it got coherent. It wasn't completely on purpose. It just happened that way.
And so chronologically that brings us up to This Town.
Yes, it does.
I like this cut too, partially because I'm a piano player. And
oh, are you?
Yes, I've been playing professionally for 31 years now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I have 7 pianos in my house. And
get out of here.
No, kidding.
7 pianos?
Well, if you count my DX7, my SY85, my Storni and Clark, I mean, I 7 keyboards, I guess. One literally is in a traditional sense, a piano with strings and soundboard. The rest are keyboard instruments.
But still, hey, 7 is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, I usually only play 2 or 3 of them. My Fender Rhodes, how you can't count?
That's man, you have a Rhodes?
I have a 73-key Fender Rhodes stage piano I bought with my first job for $2 an hour back in 1976. I've
good
had that baby
you.
Brand new. Yeah, it was. I had the second DX7 in the Eastern United States.
Wow.
Played the hell out of that. But let's get into, would you like to say anything else about This Town before we spin it?
No, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Came here to this town when you were very small, but now you feel old, you're not quite as sold on the lights and all. You walk through, people look at you, and you don't wonder why anymore. Now you're here in this town, and it seems very small. Well, you don't wonder why anymore.
I like this album. Mark Marshall is our guest. You've got a great, great album going here. I hope we're going to cram as many tunes as we can get into the 80 minutes our tape will allow us to record you this evening. How many tunes you got in you, Mark?
Oh, man. Well, see, now this is interesting. And actually, being a keyboard person, you'll appreciate this. A lot of, I write piecemeal. I mean, there are times where, like, for instance, with Wanna Be There For You, that was a song that I literally sat down with an acoustic guitar and wrote it. But a lot of times what ends up happening is, I get an idea in my head for a riff. It could be a keyboard riff or a drum riff or whatever it is. And I go in and I go into the studio and I sequence it and I just sort of save it. I have hundreds of bits of songs, in sequence form I probably have 3 albums, 4 albums worth of stuff sitting. Now, it's not complete. It doesn't have words or doesn't have melody but that's sort of how a lot of it works for me. One of the songs we'll talk about later on, Angelina, that song was absolutely the finished version that you hear on the album was instrumentally completed, including the mix, 1.5 years before I even wrote the melody. And I just lived with it, until this song came. And we'll talk about that later. But my point is, how many? Lord only knows.
Well, a lot. You have 2 albums here. You have 19 songs. That's 2 albums for an average artist.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I could have cut it short. You know, I could have done 10. I really could have. But part of it was that I really this is not the only album I'm going to do, but I really wanted this album to represent this period of my art. This is after recording in a room, and you know, you and I were just talking about this offline about the fact that, you know, you spend all this time as a musician through your life. Especially for somebody who has the desire to be a recording artist and have an album, you spend all this time not having that happen. So when it finally does, you are really looking and going, you know, I want this to be complete. You want it to feel like it represents you and this period and what you were doing and what you were trying. And so, you know, the more that I got further along, and you know, for most people don't know who haven't heard the album, the album is largely vocal, but there are, I'm guessing now, because I'm not going to sit there and count them, but there are probably 7 instrumental tracks or 8 instrumental tracks on the album. Most of them are shoved to one end, although there are a few interspersed in the middle. I included them all because I felt like they were relevant. They were relevant to what I was saying artistically in terms of making this a complete representation of, you know, who I am now and what I'm doing.
Well, and if you were a big record executive back in the 80s or 90s, this would have been 5 albums because they would have taken the best tracks, packaged them with a bunch of junk tracks, and broke them up into individual selling records so they could make more money.
Sure.
But you, as an artist, are more concerned about other things. You know, I hate to sound so cliche-ish on these types of broadcasts, but you're not doing this for the money, are you?
No. No, I mean, look, I will be perfectly honest with you. I would really love it if I was completely making a living doing nothing but this. And this is, you know, this is one of the things that artists face and I don't want to start preaching now, but I mean, in Western society, art is very much taken for granted. I heard someone say very long time ago, probably 15 years ago, they were talking about the fact that how music was taken for granted, and what they said was, if you took all the music in the world away for one day, you watch how quickly people would start appreciating music. You know, there are in all these major metropolitan areas and non, there are brilliant musicians. There are brilliant musicians who are penniless and are not working. And if they go out to play at a club, you know, they're lucky if they get paid $25, and they're lucky if 4 people show up. And there's something wrong with that. You know, that having been said, we as artists still have this drive to make our art and do it by any means necessary and figure out a way to get through. And I'm, you know, I struggle every week to get by, but I'm, you know, but I'm following my heart. I'm doing what what an artist needs to do, which is, you know, I'm not for a minute comparing myself to Michelangelo, you know, but, you know, he wasn't lying on his back on the scaffold going, you know, how much money are you going to give me? He was doing what he did for the love of the art, because the art was what was important. You know, I've said to people on numerous occasions that I've never recorded to be trendy. I've never sat and said, "Okay, you know, I'm going to try to be the next Nirvana." You know, never, never, never. I record and write what I love to hear. I record what I love to listen to. So I feel comfortable in that not going for the buck. You know, it'd be easy to do. It'd be easy. You know as well as anybody, you can go into a studio, and if you throw enough money at something, you can make it sound like anybody, and you can sell it. But in the end, what is it? It's crap. It's, you know, it's McDonald's food. And, you know, who wants that to be the representation of what their art is? I don't.
Well, I get the genuine feeling. We all hear what musicians call corporate music. Hey, turn your local Clear Channel station on. You can hear that all day tomorrow.
Sure.
Between the millions of commercials that they'll throw at you. A moment ago, as you were describing the plight of artists and how it's tough to make a living and get by and you're unappreciated, I agree wholeheartedly about everything you said about that. And I also want to interject, in America, especially in America. Just as recently last night, we had a New York City artist who had a tour in Japan. And my, what a remarkably different experience artists get, musicians get in Japan.
Sure.
Let's look at Canada, our neighbors to the north.
Oh, please.
Do you know that? Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, you listen to, and I don't mean to go handing off, you know, competing net stations, but go listen to like LG73.com, which is a, you know, internet broadcaster out of Canada. You put those stations on, and me being a New Yorker, you know, I'm used to New York media or even West Coast media. I'm used to U.S. centric media, and you tune this in, and you hear what is what one would charitably consider corporate music, but from up there. And the music is effing brilliant.
I know.
I have to say, you know, the people who make corporate music, a lot of it is very well crafted. I'm not saying they don't work hard. I know they work hard. But, you know, you're right. When you start looking at the way that the rest of the world treats art as opposed to us, we have a lot to learn.
In Canada, listeners may be interested to know that if you're an artist or a musician, you can get government money granted to you to cut an album. What? Are you insane? Why aren't we doing that in America? Why isn't there a program like that in America?
Yep.
I know why. Because the record companies would cry bloody murder, and the radio stations, the corporate monopolistic radio stations, would cry bloody murder.
Well, and not to mention the fact that we're not taught to be civically minded in this country. We're taught to be anything but civic minded. If you think about the health and well-being of a society and its art, you know, I mean, a thriving artistic community, you know, anybody will tell you that as a kid, if you are taught art and music, that you as a result will do way better in all the other places in your life academically, you know. Same thing goes for a society, but we don't do that, you know. By the way, have you ever heard of Fifi Dobson?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. Fifi Dobson is this Canadian artist. I just heard a track of hers last week. It's a pop song from, I guess, last year. And it's a pop record. It's totally a pop record. But it is a kick-ass pop record. I mean, I was sitting there with my mouth open, and here you go. She's unsigned. She was signed, and she is now unsigned. And when you hear it, you're like, oh, my God, this is a brilliant record. But, you know, welcome to the... So I'm actually kind of proud not to be signed at this point, you know? I consider it a badge of being true to my art.
We used to have a show called the J.C. Reyes Show before Sirius Satellite picked her up, and she was on our station for about 2 years. And she had been in the country music world, been country music vocalist of the year sometime back in the 80s. She had many record executives that became friends of hers. She had Jordan Keller, the Backstreet attorney for the Backstreet Boys. Anyway, she brought a lot of very influential people in the know onto her broadcast. And I co-hosted her show with her on occasion, and she had many, many, many record executives from Capitol Records, Columbia, blah, 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 all these big, big, big dogs coming on.
Yep.
First of all, they all came on and apologized. For some reason, you go back and listen to those archives, folks, every one of those record executives during those broadcasts kind of puts his head down and goes, you know what? We screwed those artists. We screwed them bad. And then every single one of them said the following, and I'm paraphrasing, but they basically said the same thing. Don't ever sign a record deal with a major record label unless you want to give all of your money and all your creativity to someone else. And you would think, well, now wait a minute, weren't you the very people? Yes, they were the very people that did that. I guess they wanted to go to their graves having that off their chest. Boy, to hear some of these stories, it's like, are you telling that live on our station? Do you realize what you're saying and you're admitting to? Well, maybe that's what, no one's crying any tears over watching the record industry in this country implode. And I mean the big boys. And bravo for all the small record labels and independent artists like Mark Marshall, our guest. That brings us up to the next track that we're going to play. I don't know what the segue is, but we're just going there anyway.
Hey, I'll give it to you real quick. This harkens back to when I was a kid, before I found rock and roll. I had a sweet voice, you know, like a real pop voice. And I always wanted to scream, and I never could scream, you know. And then I started hearing, you know, Robert Plant and Janis Joplin, a whole bunch of people. And I always really wanted to just be able to put on a real hard edge on my voice. And I couldn't. And at the ripe old age of probably 12 years old, I was in a basement of a house in the Bronx with a band. I was watching their rehearsal, and I'd heard this song on a jukebox in a pizza place, and I used to listen to it all the time. And I said, you know what? Let me just try. Can you guys play this? And they played it, and I found for the first time in my life a song that I could scream. And so I've been doing it. I've been doing it with, you know, in blues jams various little places for decades. And so when I did this, I sort of came up with my own little twist on it. And And it is, when you go back and listen to the original, it is one of the most brilliant three-minute rock and roll singles ever recorded. And I'm not a huge Creedence Clearwater fan, but this record was just a kick-ass record. So this is my version of Creedence Clearwater's Traveling Band, with apologies to John Fogerty. Won't you take me down to Memphis on a midnight ride? I won't move. Hey, little traveling band. Yeah. Well, I'm flying across the land, and I'm trying to get a hand. I said, hey, little traveling band. Listen to the radio, talking about the last show. Someone got excited and it caught the state position.
Mark Marshall is our guest on tonight's featured music special. And, folks, I am thrilled that I get to be the one to interview Mark tonight, because he has a hell of an album. We're not even haven't scratched the surface yet, so stick and stay, because you guys are going to dig what's coming your way. And for those that maybe have to get up early or something and can't stay for the rest of the broadcast, let's tell them right now, Mark, where can they get your album?
Well, you can find my album at markmarshall.com. You can get it at iTunes. You can get it at Buy Music. You can get it at Napster. You can get it at CD Baby. If you go to markmarshall.com, you'll find a bunch of links for places to get it. You can also just Google me, man, because it's all over the place. I've worked really hard to take responsibility for getting my materials out there where people can find them. And if you're interested in finding out more information or keeping updated on me, I've actually signed up with a really cool site that I actually like to talk about. There's a website out there called Reverb Nation. Just the name. I love the name. ReverbNation.com, which is a site that really empowers artists to be in contact with the people who want to know about them, and send them mailings and get them music. If you go to ReverbNation.com/Mark Marshall, you can sign up. You can actually sign up to be a member of my street team, which will this is actually kind of cool. We've just started this over the past week. It will give you access to tracks from the next album as I'm working on them. So if you sign up to be a full-fledged street team member, you'll actually get to hear the stuff I'm working on as I'm working on it, which is kind of cool.
And street teams, how can independent artists exist without street teams?
It's true. And look, you know, this is a fairly new thing for me. I spent a lot of time I spent a lot of time sort of putting all of this together. I mean, you've seen the website and you've seen the press releases and all that. I wrote and photographed and designed and logoized every single bit. There is not one external finger on any of my stuff besides me. So once I sort of had that all together, then it was time to, you know, take it out to the next level, which is, you know, get the album out there, start to get some feedback, and the feedback I'm getting is just I can't tell you how wonderful and how heartening it is. But so that's what I'm doing now, is I'm calling on people who appreciate art and appreciate what I do. It doesn't cost them anything. Just, you know, hey, do me a favor, email somebody, or hey, do me a favor, put my music player on your MySpace page, you know, because that's how it works. That's really how it works. If you appreciate somebody's art, the only way to help that art continue, other than actually buying it, is to, you know, turn other people onto it. So,
well, we say, if you like us, tell your friends. If you don't like us, then tell your enemies.
There you go.
And you got a great album cover, by the way, very, very well designed. You guys can check it out when you surf over to markmarshall.com. For those of you too lazy to pick up your mouse and click on the link, let me describe it to you. It's a close-up of Mark, the top quarter of his head. It's a picture of his eye in the center of the album cover in black and white, and then the pupil of his eye, there's a flame in color. And, of course, I don't believe we've mentioned that the name of the album is New Eye. It was very well done, very, very artistic. I like that. Very well done.
Thank you. And, again, this goes back to what I was saying before about how sometimes things just fall together. This album came on the tail of, not even the tail of, it came in the midst of a pretty wild journey of a life, from the standpoint of having gone through, I've been through two divorces, and my father committed suicide 6 years ago, I'm a survivor, and I always have been. I've been a pretty stoic person, and I've been able to, you know, hang through all of this. But there does come a point in your life where you kind of look and go, okay, you know, what's next? There's got to be something here. I'm not somebody who's prone to, you know, falling for organized religion when you come to that place. But I was surrounded by people who were spiritual from the standpoint of believing in a larger energy, in the fact that we're connected in ways that you don't see, in the fact that there your soul does extend beyond this body, and that there is something bigger. Not a being. I'm not talking about a guy in a white robe and a throne. You know, no E.G. Marshall with the white beard. I mean that there is. There is an energy to everything, and there is a connectedness to everything. And what was frustrating to me when I was surrounded by all these people who I knew and trusted and respected was that they spoke of this with a very clear knowledge of it, that they knew it existed, and because I trusted them, I accepted that it was true, but I didn't feel it and I didn't see it, and it was very frustrating to me. It left me with an incredibly lonely feeling, because I felt like, you know, maybe I'm just supposed to feel alone, you know, maybe in this life that's what I'm supposed to experience, and that I'm supposed to go it on my own without the benefit of this thing that these other people know exist. And so that was sort of a real kind of turning point in my life. I have to say was kind of really sort of the very first germ of the album. So what I learned over this 3 or 4 year period was I ended up seeing things in a completely different way than I had ever seen them before. Hence the title of the album.
New Eye.
Yeah. I'm now seeing the world through a different eye.
You know, it seems human nature in a way that it does require, I've heard it said, how can you know blissful happiness if you've not experienced the depths of sorrow? you know, how can you know, how can you appreciate what it's like to be wealthy if you haven't been dirt poor? And in a strange way, somehow artists seem to dig down deep. Artists like you that have been through some pretty damn tough things for people. There's people out there listening, sure, that have been through equally as tough times, but then there's those you lucky ones out there that haven't been. And somehow those powerful, emotional, rotten things that happen to you somehow get turned around in a musician and an artist such as yourself and turn into beautiful pieces of music. You know, it's mysterious, but it happens, man.
There can be a grace. There can absolutely be a grace, you know, with anything, with the loss of someone. And I'm not referring to my father. I mean, just as an example, in a life, the loss of someone can result in an appreciation and a love for what you had in that person that you never saw when they were here. You know, you can lose. I have a friend who I won't name, but who has been through incredibly. I mean, the kind of dark times that you can't imagine. Literally, not being able to leave their own home, and on the tail end, being able to come out from that. The beauty that you can find, you know, as you said before, it's like this: if there was no ugliness in the world, how would you find beauty? You know, if you hadn't experienced dark times, how would you know light ones? You know, and that's actually, you know, the next song we're going to play, I think, is kind of a perfect example of that. It was on the one hand, it is longing and it's angry and it's saying, you know, damn it, I want something more. But by the same standpoint, the chorus is actually, it's almost gospel. You know, it's joyous and it's hopeful and it's still saying, even though, you know, I'm not seeing any of this, I know that there's this beauty exists somewhere.
Give me love, give me light, give me redemption, not redemption. Wanna feel it in my soul,
I need it.
Don't want nobody else to try and take control.
Don't want it.
Don't need somebody else to save me or be saved.
I don't need it.
Don't wanna be somebody's master or a slave. And if I'm alone, turn out the light. When you close the door, oh, give me the light.
I like that track. That's one of my favorite tracks on the album. Mark Marshall is our guest. You're listening to a featured music special on the Artist First Radio Network and across the vast universe of cell phones streaming on the Spotronic Radio Network. And again, Mark, people come and go throughout the hour, and I want to make sure that no one misses the chance to know where they can pick up your albums. Please tell us again where they're available.
Of course, absolutely. You can find out more about me at markmarshall.com. My album is, you can find out where to buy the album there. You can also, you can find it at iTunes, Buy Music, Napster, and also I have a MySpace page, myspace.com/MarkMarshallMusic. Sign up, be my friend. Yeah,
and you're an interesting character. In fact, we're just going to have you back in hours, not, in fact, we're going to go 80 minutes, the maximum we can record on a CD tonight with you, and that's not even going to be enough time. So we definitely will be scheduling you for some time, perhaps when your upcoming tour is more solidified, so we can promote that to our listeners and get you back on. And but in the meantime, we're going to try and squeeze in as many of the 19 tracks. Count them, folks. You got to get off, take your shoes off to count all 19 tracks here. and this is, you know, honestly, this is an excellently done piece of artistry here. What are we going to play next?
We're going to play Crossing, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but in terms of the story, it's an important part. As I alluded to before, my dad took his own life 6 years ago, and he was in a pretty dark place in his life. But he was a brilliant man. He was a character voice person, and a singer, and an announcer, and a whistler in New York. Anybody who watched commercials any time in the 70s and 80s, or you know, you've heard his voice, or you know, I mean, or you heard his character voices, or you heard his singing. He was a brilliant man, but he had come to a kind of a dark place in his life, and so at the ripe young age of 68 years old, in broad daylight, he drove up to the top of a bridge and jumped off, and didn't leave a note. Didn't call anybody and say, listen, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing. So what we, myself and my siblings, were left with were questions. And I was fortunate. This is going to sound kind of odd, but again, this is, you know, finding the light in what is inherently a dark place. You know, obviously, he didn't park his car before he went, so his car was left in the middle of the bridge. All of my siblings live outside of the area, and so I had to go the following day to the other side of a bridge to the police station and get in his car and drive it back across the bridge. So there I was, you know, in his seat, in the car, on the bridge, and the beauty of it was that I was given the opportunity to have some finality to to it, you know, to really make it very present and to be faced with it right up front. Because one of the things that is so difficult for survivors of you know, suicide and families is that you are that you're left with questions that will never be answered.
How true.
That's, so this song is about powerful. That experience of going and of you know, of him doing what he did, and then my going and getting the car and driving it back across the bridge.
Mark, that tune is all the more powerful with your explanation of it. I could hear the tires going across the seams in the concrete on the bridge.
Yep.
Wow, you know, when you first listen to that, when I listened to your album before tonight's broadcast, you know, you don't necessarily pick up things in that way. That's why it's so great to hear it from you, from the creator. You know, there's a certain cohesiveness. I sort of just had this realization after listening to your album. There's a certain, I don't know if that's the right word, but that's the word I'm going to use, cohesiveness to all this music, because you are playing all the instruments. It is all you, and you know exactly what you want. You know, it's, as opposed to when an artist hires session players, or maybe he doesn't play saxophone, so he gets a sax player to play, and the guy does, you know, you tell him what to do. You tell the sax player to play this riff, and he does it similar to what you want. But, you know, in your case, you're able to do things exactly the way you want them.
Well, I was about to say, yes, sometimes that's intentional and sometimes it's not. But, I mean, I do think that there's, you know, there's a certain sensibility. You know, when you're a painter, you have your look about, you know, what it is that you paint. And I suppose that that's sort of one of the things that ties everything together here, I guess.
Well, folks, I know that you know this, and we always, every show on the Artist First Network, if you care to send, I know types of programs like this are more of listened to type shows than crowd participation. But if you would like to send a question or comment to our guest, Mark Marshall, as always, any guest, you can hit us up at dj@artistfirst.com. And we want to thank our listeners right now for all the tremendous support they have shown and love towards the artists that have come onto this network by getting out there, buying the albums. And you know what, folks? Mark gets to keep the money, not some pompous, coke-snorting, pot-bellied, limo-driving record executive that couldn't find his butt with both hands not getting all the money. Mark actually gets the money. That's what the music was supposed to be about, not some corporation stealing every penny from every artist. But, okay, I'm over that for the time.
Well, and listen, hey, and I want to turn it right back on you and say that, you know, it's outlets like the Artist First Radio Network that keep artists and authors in the public spotlight and help us try to move forward with our art in a world where that's pretty difficult. I spend, and this is not an exaggeration, I would say I probably spent over the past 2 months, I would say I spent no less than 3 to 4 hours a day marketing between. You know, posting to websites and signing up for websites and uploading MP3s and banners and blah, 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 blah. And it's outlets like the Artist First Radio Network that help people like me get to people like you.
You know, I got to bring this up because I think you're a perfect candidate for this. You may already know about this, and I'm going to repeat this for listeners who've heard me say this, but I think it's valuable for everyone to know. In Europe, where they actually value artists and actually care about artists and actually support artists, in Europe, Shelley Streeter was a country artist we had on, probably over a year ago now, maybe even longer, who brought this to my attention and the attention of our listeners. You can submit a CD, and I think you should, Mark, to a... There's somebody over there, and I suppose if you Google Shelley Streeter or find her website, you could email her and she could give you specifics on this. But the gist of it is, folks, any artist with a CD sends their material to this committee or this group of people who takes in all these CDs throughout the summer. And sometime in December, November, December, they select gifted artists like Mark Marshall, and they invite them to come tour Europe in the summer. Now, Shelley works a day job like I do and Mark does, and we, you know, have bills to pay. So she takes 2 weeks out every summer, gets her band to take the same two-week period off, and they go tour Europe every summer.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yes, and all the gigs are you know, it's plug and play. In other words, you just take your instruments. All the venues are predetermined. The pay is predetermined. She says sometimes she sleeps in people's homes in the small towns that they play in, and sometimes that she sleeps in fabulous hotels. But it just sounds like a fabulous time for to be an artist and alive and going through, you know, one night you're in France, the next night you're in Germany, the next night you're in wherever.
Absolutely.
And,
and this goes back to what, you know, what we were talking about before about the tour. And I just want to say it so, you know, people know. I'm in the midst of trying to build, and this is, you know, one of the drawbacks of being a solo artist. It's not like I can say, hey, you know, guys, that album that we did together, let's go out and play it live. I am the whole band. So, you know, part of it requires that I get a band together to do this. But one of the things that I'm working on is, and I'll give you, and these are all tentative cities. And the reason I did it this way is I figured it's better to plan big and then have to strip places if it doesn't work, rather than, you know, pick two and end up trying to do eight. At this point, I'm looking at, obviously, New York, because that's, you know, I mean, this state is home for me. But Chicago, Milwaukee, Atlanta, Nashville, Austin, and San Francisco or Los Angeles, and I'm not sure whether it's Reno or Tahoe, in Nevada. And
you're
that's
not gonna...
what I'm. That's that. I it, it's a, it's a. And the interesting thing is what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to do it with regional musicians. So instead of having to transport a whole band with me, I can actually A, give some work to local musicians. And B, you know, they also know good venues and stuff like that. So, Lord knows I'm going to be able to pull it off because, again, I am. I'm just a working stiff and I'm, you know, it's tough enough making ends meet without, you know, grandiose plans like that. But if you don't play, hey, look, you know what? If I never tried to do this album, I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you.
We've got to include Cleveland, the home of rock and roll, for heaven's sakes.
That's, you know, that's true.
I've only said
you're absolutely right.
We play in Cleveland occasionally. We're an hour south of Cleveland. In fact, I've done live programs from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, you know what? If I can pull it off, I will come there and see you.
And you can let me know in advance because my band gigs almost every single weekend, and it would be nice to have a weekend off, and I would love to come up and check you out.
Absolutely. Hey, we could do a double bill, you know.
Yeah, but my band is a bunch of, well, my band slogan is redefining public humiliation on a nightly basis.
Oh, man, you're cruel. To your own band, you're cruel.
Yeah, I know.
Well, look, you know, if I can swing it, I'm there. I'm totally there.
All right, well, let's get in. We're going to try and squeeze in just a couple more tracks. We're rapidly running out of time with the tape that we have left. All right, we've got Red Electric queued up next. Tell our listeners what they're about to hear.
Okay, yeah, I can do this one short and sweet. This was not chronological. Well, it is chronological. It's me sort of now looking back at what a wonderful thing a guitar was for me when I was a kid. There you go.
markmarshall.com, MARSHALL.com. It's linked up twice on the Artist First homepage. You can click right through. You can see and hear and read and contact and add your praises to the website. Mark, this is an outstanding album, and I congratulate you on a job very, very well done.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It means a tremendous amount, especially from a fellow musician.
Now, I'm not easily impressed. I hate to sound pompous or,
that's what they told
arrogant.
Me. They warned me about you. No, I'm just kidding.
I hear lots of stuff, man. There's probably, conservatively speaking, 10,000 CDs I'm looking at right now on that wall over there.
Wow.
Not that I've listened to all of them, mind you. It's utterly impossible to, but I don't know. Maybe one out of 40, one out of 50 do we actually put in our rotation. Maybe a few more are deserving than that, but a lot of them aren't deserving. Just because you put out an album doesn't necessarily mean someone should spend time listening to it.
That's true.
As cruel as that sounds.
No, hey, you have a point. Well, you're very kind, and I want to take a minute and say thank you for having me, and thank you for spending the time, and thank you for supporting indie art, because we folks need folks like you, and so thank you.
Well, as we've mentioned earlier, there's just too much great material to play off of this album to limit Mark to one broadcast, and we thought with his upcoming tour it would be appropriate to bring him back as those dates get solidified so that we can additionally help promote the tour that will be coming up and, again, play more tracks off the record. In fact, we've got about 3 minutes left with our conversation, and we want to save enough time to go out with. You've saved two songs that you want to play back-to-back, and as our listeners know, we always end these programs with music. And so there's, in about 2.5 minutes, you're going to have to tell us why we're ending the way we are.
Okay, I can do that. And I also have to live up to my promise about what I said in the promo about Angelina. So here's the story. So I went through, I've gone through all this stuff that we've talked about over the course of this radio show. And I have to say that I did find a connection. I found an energetic connection. I did find a higher self, for lack of a better term. And it took a very odd form. It's almost embarrassing to say. I've never been an Angelina Jolie fan. But a friend of mine came over. We used to swap DVDs all the time. And he came over to my apartment one day, and actually my kid Sky was there for the weekend, and he brought over Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, which is actually a brilliant movie. And so we watched it, and fine. I brought my kid home to his mom, and I came back home, and I just took a nap for a little while, and I got up, I had a cup of coffee or whatever, and then I went back to sleep, and I had this dream. This dream that absolutely kicked the living you-know-what out of me. I woke up the next morning with the most profound sense of loss I had ever had. I wept for an entire day. And it wasn't about Angelina Jolie. It was about finding a connection. It was about getting connected to the creative muse. It literally opened me up and cored me out. And that day was the start of this album. That was May 5th of 2005, and so these two songs represent the higher self saying to the, the little self, oh, you want a connection, huh? Okay, fine. Here's your connection. So that's what these two songs represent.
Perfect.
They represent my denouement, my flowering, my opening up, this little part of the story, what started this album.
Terrific. You did it with 10 seconds left to spare. We're just going to get them in. MarkMarshall.com. Look at our schedule. He's going to be coming back with us probably in the next month. Mark, it has been a delight having you.
See, man, it was an honor. Thank you very much. You be well. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.
My naturally.